This is the Big Stories Podcast, where we tell the amazing and inspiring stories from across the Big 12 Conference.
Welcome back to Big Stories. I'm your host, Cleon Wall. Our storylines revolve around why BYU is getting no love and a somewhat lackluster final week of football for the Big 12. But first,
the Big Stories Top 5 Teams.
Producer Chase Davidson is joining us here for the Top 5 Teams. You know, I say it every week, but I want to make sure everyone knows the top five teams. What we do is we pick each team from 5 to 1. If we have the same team on the same line, not just in the top five, but on the same line, if I pick the number five and you have the same team, you have to pick a new number five. You know, that's kind of the rules. This week, I get a start out, so I get picks number 5, 3, and 1 to start first. Chase gets number 4 and 2. If we do this again next week, I don't know. We're toying with this idea. If we do it again next week, Chase will get the last one of the season where he gets to go 5, 4, 3, and 1. So anyway, my number five team of the week, Chase, my number five team of the week is Kansas State. I know that they should have beaten Utah and they blew it, but wow, did they come out and run all over one of the best defenses in the conference. 472 rushing yards. Yikes. That was an impressive offensive game plan that was executed perfectly. It just so happened that they just didn't quite have enough offense at the end, but that's not the offense's problem. That's the defense's problem. Well, I guess you could kind of blame it on Avery Johnson for throwing a pick that went back for two. And yeah, you know what? That didn't matter anyway. So there you go. So that is my number five team of the week. What is your number five team of the week, Chase?
I got Arizona State. I'm really impressed with Arizona State this week. Blew out Colorado. You know, they're still hanging around. They're still hanging around 8-3 now, 6-2 in the Big 12. They still have a shot at the conference title.
Very slim, but you are correct.
Yeah, yes. Relik Brown, 255 yards on the ground. Great performance there. You know, it's against Colorado, you know, on the road, whatever. It was a big win for them. They had a huge fourth quarter that kind of blew open the game. It was kind of a close game for a while, but good win for Arizona State as, you know, they still got a chance. They're ranked. Good season for them.
All right, your number four team.
Number four, I got Iowa State. I was impressed with them this week. They won against Kansas 38-14. Again, Kansas has also had some struggles, but, you know, after that four-loss streak in the middle of the season, they've now won at TCU and versus Kansas. I don't know how the fans feel necessarily about this season as a whole now, but good for them. You know, now they're 7-4. Rocco Becht is looking pretty good, and so I like what I saw of Iowa State this week.
Okay, my number four team is the Arizona Wildcats. They won their fourth straight game and did it in convincing fashion over Baylor. They really held Baylor QB Sawyer Robertson in check. They picked him off twice. I also love it because they set up a good game against the Arizona State Sun Devils, but I'm saying that Arizona this week is my number four team. All right, my number three team is the Arizona State Sun Devils. They needed a victory to stay in the hunt for the Big 12 title game, and they got it. And so a good solid victory for them, just like you said. It was interesting. I'm watching the BYU-Cincinnati game and paying attention to this other game, and I kept checking the score, and I'm like, oh, Colorado may actually give ASU a game. And then they didn't. And so good for ASU. They're doing this with their backup quarterback. Relik Brown, as you said, he was fantastic in that game. He's actually had a very good season. Good for Arizona State. You're my number three team this week. All right, who is your number three team this week?
My number three is TCU.
Oh, okay.
Went on the road and beat a 23rd ranked Houston Cougars team. This was impressive, not going to lie. I did not think TCU was going to win this game. I thought Houston was going to be full bore ahead. They need that 10-win season. But Josh Hoover, he had three interceptions, but still threw for almost 300 yards, kind of in TCU fashion this year. But they held off a late run a middle of the game, rest of the game run from Houston. They scored 14 early, TCU did. And then Houston slowly got themselves back into this game and couldn't finish it off. TCU hit a clutch field goal to win the game and held off any Houston hope, which was very impressive to me that they were able to control the game that late with no offense really happening.
I need someone to explain to me why coaches decide to go for it to end the game instead of kicking a field goal to go up by six,
yeah,
and forcing the opponent to drive all the way down the field to score the touchdown.
I believe TCU was only on the five, yeah. Four.
TCU could have kicked a field goal to go up 20-14. They decide against it. They go for it. They don't pick it up. Houston drives down the field. Granted, it was going to be a really, really long field goal to tie it up, but they miss it. And that's how TCU ends up winning the game over Houston. But please, will someone please explain to me why you don't want to take the points? It's going to be way harder for them with less than 2 minutes left to score a touchdown. But anyway, never mind.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on that. I was hoping TCU would kick the field goal. They didn't. And they made it kind of squirreling on themselves late in the game, but they ended up winning the game. So good for TCU. You're our number two team this week.
Number two, I got Arizona, who whooped on Baylor. Now, this didn't look like a whooping for most of the game, kind of like Arizona State's game. They scored 20 in the fourth to have a margin of victory, 41-17. But who I want to talk about is Kedrick Risano. He had three touchdowns on the ground, and Arizona is now 8-3. I've been kind of hyping them up all year because I feel like no one gives them their flowers. I feel like this Arizona team should be ranked much more than the Arizona State team should be ranked. That's just my opinion, though. But, you know, a good win over Baylor. I mean, Baylor scored 17 in the first half and then was held scoreless the entire second half, and that's why Arizona won this game by so much. Cleon, you were talking to me about this before our filming here, and it was surprising. I'm surprised Arizona fans aren't really showing up too much. I would love for someone to explain to me why, you know, still not quite filling that stadium, even though they're having a pretty good bounce-back season after beating a ranked team last week on the road, Cincinnati, now beating Baylor. We got a crazy showdown in the desert next week. I am so excited for that game. That game's on Black Friday, so excited.
Yeah, no, I'm excited too. My number two team, it's the Utah Utes. Amazing comeback, down by 10. They score two late touchdowns to beat Kansas State. I'm going to readily admit, I feel like I should not rank them this high since they gave up so many big plays to the Wildcats, but that's the way it goes. It was still an amazing comeback. As I was paying attention to that game, I'm like, oh, there's no way Utah's going to be able to pull this off. And then they pulled it off. So that's why they're my number two team. My number one team this week then. Uh-oh, Chase is shaking his head. I think we may have the same number one team.
I was supposed to flip them. I should
have
flipped them.
Oh, yes. The number one team I have is the BYU Cougars. They needed a win in a hostile. I mean, it wasn't an amazing game. Let me go back and say that first. It was not an amazing game. But BYU did what they needed to do to get a win. They won at Cincinnati. Their top receiver went down with an injury. I guess the BYU's offense just thought, okay, well then maybe we'll just not pass as much and we'll run. And running back LJ Martin, he was special in this game. They are now one game away from going to the conference title game. I feel like Chase probably has BYU as his number one team this week, but he's going to have to pick another team this week as his number one team. Who is your number one team this week, Chase?
I sure am. I do like the way that BYU can win in any situation. I think that's their strength this year. Number one, I'm going to have to put it Kansas State, even though they lost. I think any team that can put up 574 yards of offense against Utah. I don't really know what was going on, Morgan Scalley in Utah. I still believe in that Utah defense quite a bit. I feel like this is just a bad game. I don't think there's anything to be worried about. Obviously, they've got some important injuries. Henry Daly Jr. is out for Utah, which is a big player for them. But really, I'm surprised that this even happened. I don't know how you have 472 yards of rushing and you still lose the game. That's pretty wild. But, you know, good for Kansas State. They got to win next week, though. They're 5-6. They really need to win next week to become bowl eligible. They play Colorado in that game at home. Should be doable. But, you know, Kansas State has had a crazy season. You know, Utah, good for them on the win. I could very easily put them kind of up here as well. They also had a lot of offense.
I think it's a little late for that now, Chase.
It's a little late for that. But
you put Kansas State ahead of Utah. How could you do that?
I feel like I had to because I had no one else to put. And I was like, well, Utah, I don't think Utah fans want themselves at number one. I feel like Kansas State, give them the flowers. You know what? Actually, put Oklahoma State there. They lost, but they got the closest they've had at any game this year.
Yeah.
They almost won.
Cowboys.
They almost won.
Cowboys, yeah. All right, those are our top five teams of the week.
The Big Story's five biggest storylines. Number five.
The best basketball conference in America? Well, that's still to be determined this season. We will find out a lot this week, but one piece of news shows how wanted the conference is in the future. But let's get to what's happening right now. Biggest wins this past week. Arizona takes down UConn in Storrs, Connecticut. even though the Huskies' starting center was out of the game due to an injury. BYU lays waste to Wisconsin 98-70 in Salt Lake City. Texas Tech outlasts Wake Forest in the Bahamas 84-83, only to play the top-ranked team in the nation the next day and lose 86-56 to Purdue. Ouch! All right, in the top 25, Arizona moves into second. 3-2-1. All right, in the top 25, Arizona moves into the second spot in the top 25 poll. That is the Associated top 25 poll. Houston is now third. BYU remains at number 9, 15th ranked Iowa State, and number 20, Texas Tech, round out the Big 12 teams in the top 25. Kansas, Baylor, and Oklahoma State receive some votes. Not bad. You start out with six teams in the top 25 before the season even starts, and now you have five teams in after 3 weeks. The big games over the holiday weekend include TCU playing defending national champ Florida in the Rady's Children Invitational in San Diego. They then will play either Wisconsin or Purdue the next day. BYU takes on Miami in the Orlando area on Thanksgiving Day, and then will either play Dayton or Georgetown the day after. Again, both those games, meaning TCU's games and BYU games, will be on Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving. First round of the Players Era Festival in Las Vegas has massive matchups. Those games will be played Monday through Wednesday, and one of the Big 12 teams that is in the field could be crowned champ of that tournament. Now for the future of the Players Era Festival and the Big 12. Now, four Big 12 teams are in this year. That will expand to eight next year as the tournament also expands to 32 teams. The eight teams invited will be determined on how they finish the prior season. Each team will get a $1 million NIL payout. Players Era says it will commit around $50 million to the Big 12 programs in rights fees over the next few years. The four teams in this year, Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, and Baylor, we could see those teams again next year, plus, you know, another four more. Yeah, this is a big deal for the Big 12, showing how popular they are in college basketball. Now, if we can get that to translate to football, that would be nice. Of course, we'll get to that soon.
Number four.
New teams make a big-time difference. When Arizona and Houston entered the Big 12, we knew how much that would benefit the conference in basketball. Little did we know how much it would benefit the conference in football. Each of those two teams are 5-3 in conference and 8-3 overall. Both of these teams were 2-7 and 4-8 in their first years in the conference. By the way, Houston began their Big 12 affiliation in 2023, Zona in 2024. What I'm really hitting at is how good the new conference members have been this season to the success of the conference. And I think everyone understands that Texas Tech is the number one team in the conference this year. Then it's BYU, Utah, ASU, Houston, Arizona, and Cincinnati. That's six of the new conference members that are in the top end of the pecking order in the Big 12 Conference. UCF and Colorado are the stragglers. So what does this all mean? Well, many could claim it means nothing and that everything could flip next season. And it could. I mean, just remember, TCU was in the national championship game just a few years ago, and the Horned Frogs and many other teams could turn things around quickly. But I choose to believe the new conference members have brought a verve to the Big 12. It's challenging the other Big 12 members to get busy to keep up with the new members of the conference.
Number three.
One more win. Every team in the conference plays in the final week of the season. What would one more win mean for each program? For BYU and Texas Tech, it guarantees them a spot in the conference title game. Then again, if ASU loses on Friday, those two teams are in the conference title game. A win would be one more data point for the College Football Playoff Committee to consider. For Utah and Arizona State, it's just remaining in the hunt for the conference championship game. Oh, and I'm sure the Sun Devils would love to beat their rival with their backup quarterback. For Arizona, it's a chance to beat your territorial cup rival, move ahead of them in the standings, and finish the season with five straight victories. Houston, it's all about beating another in-state rival in Baylor and propelling them into next season. And I think that's what you could say for the rest of the teams. A win will help propel them into next season. There are four teams who need to win to become bowl eligible. I would say Kansas State is the best bet to actually accomplish that task. And as for Oklahoma State, one win would mean actually beating a conference opponent who also happens to be an FBS opponent at home on Senior Day. As I said in an earlier podcast, most of the Cowboys want to showcase one more time that they deserve to play for a P4 team next season, whether that's in Stillwater or not.
Number two.
No love for the Big 12 and BYU. It seems that the national pundits and the College Football Playoff Committee have no love for the Big 12 or BYU. I've seen arguments on both sides. On one side, we have BYU's big loss to Texas Tech and a lack of beating big-time opponents on their schedule. On the other side, we have pundits pointing to a whole bunch of computer metrics arguing BYU should be ranked higher when they've only lost one game. I really think it comes down to one thing. This is my opinion. BYU hasn't blown out enough teams. Texas Tech and Utah have shown the perfect blueprint. The Red Raiders' average margin of victory in conference has been 28 in their 7 wins. It would be larger if you go outside the conference. The Utes have won by an average of 29 points a game in 6 victories, and that spread would even be larger if Utah hadn't only won by 4 against Kansas State. In BYU's 7 conference wins, their average margin of victory is 12 points. They had to come back to beat Colorado after the Buffs took an early 14-0 lead. Their 14-point win over West Virginia was pretty sloppy and should have been by a greater margin. They had to go to overtime to beat Arizona and Tucson on a rainy night. By the way, that win is looking better and better each week. They were up by 10 points against Utah in the fourth quarter and gave up a late touchdown to make it a 3-point victory. The Cougars were down 14-10 to start that fourth quarter. They were down by 14 to Iowa State and then beat them by 14. Finally, they needed a late touchdown to increase their margin of victory over Cincinnati to 12 points. I'm not going to go through all the other teams that BYU is trying to battle to get into the college football playoff, but what I am claiming is that they haven't looked like a dominant team, and that's why they're getting the shaft. I'm not even sure if a close loss to Texas Tech would have given them more consideration, and I'm not sure that beating UCF by 4 touchdowns would allow them any more hope. It's looking more and more like BYU will need to win the Big 12 title game to get 2 Big 12 teams into the college football playoff.
Number one.
It's the final weekend of the Big 12 conference in football, and I'm not very excited. I don't think the conference schedulers did the Big 12 any favors this year. I believe the last week of the season should be set aside for rivalries. I'll speak from a BYU perspective and then expand. BYU hasn't always played Utah in the last game of the season. And I'm not even talking about when Utah was in the Pac-12. In their Western Athletic Conference days, they sometimes played on other dates in November. But for the most part, these two teams played in the last game of the season most of the time in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. Imagine if BYU and Utah were playing this weekend. It could be for a shot to get into the Big 12 title game. That would be a really juicy contest. Instead, the Cougars are heavily favored to beat UCF, and Utah is traveling to Kansas. Also, imagine if Kansas State was playing Iowa State this weekend in Farmageddon. Could the Cyclones keep the Wildcats from being bowl eligible? I know that may not be on the docket if the teams switched when they played this season because they played the first game of the season, but it sure sounds a lot more intriguing than Iowa State taking on Oklahoma State this weekend. Texas Tech is playing at West Virginia. They should be playing another Texas team this day. The only rivalry game this weekend is Arizona and Arizona State, and that's the best game on the Big 12 docket, and a game a lot of people will be paying attention to for a lot of reasons. In reality, I'm interested for those same reasons, but I'm also interested just because it's a rivalry game. Listen, the best example outside of the Big 12 right now when it comes to putting your rivalry game on the last week of the season is Auburn and Alabama and Ole Miss and Mississippi State. You have two teams fighting to get to the college football playoff and the Rebels and Crimson Tide. And I get that. I get why people will be interested in watching that. I also get that the Tigers and Bulldogs need one more win to become bowl eligible. But even if you didn't have all of that, you still have two rivals playing each other. And they've sold it to the nation that you got to watch this because it's a rivalry and you just don't know what will happen. Those games sound way more appealing than Cincinnati at TCU.
The big stories, top five quarterbacks.
All right, we're turning it back over to Chase Davidson for the top five quarterbacks of the week.
Number five, we have Jeff Sims of Arizona State. 206 yards and 2 touchdowns in a road win versus Colorado. Not to mention a pivotal 68-yard pass to wide receiver Derek when it was needed most in a one-score game. They were not run out of there with a victory thanks to Jeff Sims and his dynamic offense, especially late in the game. Number four, we have TCU's Josh Hoover. 24 for 33, 293 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Definitely had some mistakes in that game, but he does enough to keep that late lead against Houston on the road. At number three, we have Utah's Bird Ficklin. 7 rushes for 54 yards and 3 touchdowns. He came in and got some very meaningful minutes against Kansas State, and he isn't the only Utah quarterback on this list. At number 2, we have Iowa State's Rocco Becht, 18 for 23, 241 yards and 3 touchdowns. 97.8 QBR with a near 80% completion percentage. Iowa State has needed him to step up, and he sure did in that win versus Kansas. Number 1, we have Utah's Devin Dampierre, 18 for 33, 259 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did have some important rushing yards there. 59-yard run late in the game set up a game-winning touchdown run for the Utes. Obviously, it was a sloppy win for Utah as a whole, but that was more of a defensive problem. The offense was firing on every cylinder, and Devin Dampierre was key to that. That's it for the top 5 quarterbacks here on Big Stories.
The Big Stories, big man on campus.
I could have given it to BYU running back LJ Martin, who rushed for 222 yards and 2 touchdowns, and the Cougars went over Cincinnati. I probably should give it to Kansas State's Joe Jackson. He had 24 rushes for 293 yards and 3 TDs in the Wildcats' loss. ASU's Relik Brown had 255 yards rushing on 22 carries, but I've got to give the BMOC to Utah QB Devin Dampierre. This guy is basically playing on one leg, and he still was able to win this game. He also fumbled the ball late in the game against Kansas State to give the Cats a 2-score advantage, but he led the Utes on 2 late drives to pull out the victory, and his 59-yard run to set up the winning touchdown was pretty cool, and you know what? He scored that winning touchdown. So, you know what? I'll also make the Utah offensive line co-BMOCs. Yeah, congrats, guys. No Thursday episode this week because of Thanksgiving, and we hope you enjoy the holiday. Download and subscribe to the Big Stories Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Cleon Wall. The Big Stories Pod will return soon. Big Stories is a production of BYU Radio.